All right. Okay, everyone, and welcome back to another QS cast. Chaz and Tarkan joining once again. What is up, Tark?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Good morning, Chaz. Actually, good morning, everybody. I should say.
Evening to yourself. Yeah, you got that backwards. It's all right. Flip that around, and we got it. So what's up, bud?
Not much, man. Just getting ready to have some soup. I'm a little under the weather today, so I'm getting some homemade soup real quick. And I got a cast and talk about some cards and
Absolutely. Take it easy. Yeah, absolutely. Always look forward to it. Always look forward to casting with you. Always look forward to casting with the insiders. We got actually a good amount of questions to talk about today, and a few other things that we're going to address that have happened since the last cast. Thank goodness. actually gives us something to talk about. The insider questions are always amazing. We will address all of them. And we normally cast on Thursday evenings. I was just super tired. Like, all of a sudden, I was just like, I couldn't get my eyes open. Chat, you know, very nicely reminded me how weak I was, but that's okay. always love you, insiders. Yes, no, I don't have a kid, so you're absolutely right. I don't know what tired actually feels like, but I was pretty tired.
Well, sorry, Chaz. Everybody's allowed a free pass.
Yeah. But anyway, we're making it up today. The cast will be up by the end of today. First and foremost, so just to kind of keep with the cast structure, we'll get to the QS tracker stuff, the cards that we'll talk about towards the end. We'll talk about a couple of the things that have happened, just a couple events like the San Diego Comic-Con promos, some of the crazy unbanning stuff that went on. Which will kind of segue us into some of the questions that the insiders gave us. So we'll kind of just cover it all. First and foremost, so the San Diego Comic-Con promos were posted, and they're absolutely gorgeous. I mean, last year, I know it was, you know, you had to wait some time. I mean, normally these are all free money. Just last year, it took a little bit more effort and a little bit more patience and a little bit more time because there was a good abundance of these. I mean, there was a lot of these in the Hasbro toy shop after the fact of San Diego Comic-Con. They always go up in the Hasbro toy shop. This Discord is actually pretty lightning fast when it comes to notifying folks when this is actually available in the toy shop. And you got to be fast. I mean, normally these sell out, you know, within 10 minutes. I mean, not even sometimes. But last year, the San Diego Comic-Con promo and the Hascon promo were pure money. I mean, the Hascon promos were a joke. I didn't think they would even be. I did not even think anybody would want those cards. I mean, we were talking about $100. The Optimus Prime thing or the Grizzlock. I mean, it was almost $100 alone. And the Hascon promo set were selling for like $25. Grimlock, thank you. Yeah, Grimlock. Yeah, that was crazy. So I actually ended up getting two of those after, you know, kind of talking with the other insiders and just, I was like, you know what? It's $25. I mean, you know, whatever. Ended up getting two of those because there was two waves. And then there was two waves of the San Diego Comic-Con promos. But those were like, what, $200 last year or something like that? Like double the MSRP that they are normally?
Yeah, and they weren't really that last year's wasn't too popular. That was the zombie ones, right?
No, that was the hieroglyphic.
The hieroglyphic ones, and those weren't too popular, from what I recall.
But I mean, I know some insiders that ended up just grabbing it anyway. They held on to it for a while. Ended up keeping the poster, which was actually pretty cool because I guess like they were adding MSRP for the poster because it was like cardstock or whatever. But ended up keeping the poster and still made worthwhile margins on just the singles. So they ended up making some money on the singles and got to keep the posters. So, but you just had to wait a little bit longer because there was just a lot of them last year. I mean, they didn't sell out for like days, weeks almost. But these, so the 2018 promos, they're all done by Therese Nielsen. You know, that's just high quality in and of itself. You know, with Therese, you're getting high quality art, high quality cards, normally does like all the marquee stuff, and it just, they just look gorgeous. So they are back to the original MSRP of $99. And I think these will sell really quickly. I don't know how, if they will continue to have a larger, I'm assuming they'll have a larger supply of these like last year. So you will get at least some time to get in on it. But I don't know if they'll have multiple waves. They might just, you know, release it all at once and you'll just have a better chance of getting it the first time.
Yeah, I mean, I was blown away when they released the art for these. I think you're going to see these fly off the shelves much quicker than the last couple of years. I personally don't think there's going to be any money left on the bone on these. I think they're going to sell at MSRP, and I don't know how much. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I don't think there's going to be any short-term money. That could be incorrect. I mean, they may sell out so fast that and the supply is so low that there's a high premium on them, because they really are probably the most gorgeous we've seen in a long time. I just don't think they're going to be able to be flipped that quick, but that could be wrong. I mean, the demand on these could be so high that you know, there is some money to be made on them at release, but they're going to sell out immediately. So, you know, whatever you need to do to get ready to buy them when they're released, I would, because they're not going to be around very long. What do you think, Chad? Do you think these are going to be ones where the demand is going to be so high that, you know, on release within a week, people are going to be selling them for much higher?
I mean, they're always free money. I think within a week, I mean, especially on eBay. I think on eBay alone, these will be going for at least double. The last time they were $99. So I'm just trying to look back through my Hasbro Toy Shop order history. So back in 2016, which were these? Were these the Jace Vryn's Prodigy? Oh man, I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
No, were they the zombie ones? I don't ever remember getting the zombie ones. I don't remember.
Well, these are the 20, yeah, okay. So the zombie ones, the hieroglyphics was last year, 2017. So 2016 would be the zombie.
Zombie ones, yeah. I guess I did buy it. I ended up selling this for like $200. And this was just the zombie ones. So I was happy to get rid of those. So, I mean, if you're just selling the sealed pack, I mean, you'll normally get around $200. But I don't know. I think piecemealing out, you know, splitting up the singles and selling them back and just waiting, I think you'll end up with more than that.
Okay, well then, yeah, then I would say then, because to be candid, I don't really follow the SCC promos as much as I probably should. I just know they're usually pretty expensive, but I can tell you that these are gorgeous. And the last few was kind of, the last couple releases, I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, whatever. They sort of just came and went for me. I didn't really care that much. But these, I'm even thinking to myself, like, wow, I would love to own a set. So
I might actually just keep it for myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, if you know, if folks who are in it for financial profit are saying they want to keep them, then obviously, like, you can probably bet that there's gonna be plenty of people that are gonna want to just keep these and hoard them. So yeah, I mean, yeah. You might be able to flip these for quite a bit then.
If anything, if I can get my hands on two, then I'll just sell one and that will cover the cost of both. So, and then I just get to keep one for free. That would be ideal. But okay, so this I'm getting asked. This is where I was trying to get to. So San Diego Comic-Con runs from July 18th to July 22nd. And I'm guessing this is around the same time, but my order was placed back in 2016 on August 9th. So that's roughly, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks after the event? The 9th was on a Thursday. The 9th this year is on a Thursday. So the 22nd was on a Sunday. So about 2 weeks. And that's typically when they're available on the toy shop, on the Hasbro Toy Shop .com website. But yeah, I mean, I still think, I mean, these will be really sought after, and I think they will sell really well. And I think you'll easily be able to sell them for double, if not more, if you, you know, take the time to, if you want to split them up as the singles. But I think they're all free money, whether it's X amount or more, you know, X or Y more. I mean, it could be, you know, it's debated through each of the sets, but they're always free money if you can get your hands on it. But again,
well,
so
I think long term, these are probably going to go up in value more so than the previous ones have. So
definitely, you know, because I mean, these, I mean, they're done by Therese Nielsen. They're easily recognizable. They'll be easily recognizable. They're different, and they don't have, like, you know, some folks didn't like the black on black promos because they were hard to read. You know, admittedly, they are pretty hard to read, but I still liked them anyway because it was like a comic book feel for a Magic card. So it was different. But, you know, even with all those issues that, you know, some folks had, they were all selling. So I just foresee this being the same thing. Okay. So yeah, 2 weeks after San Diego Comic-Con is about the time they will be up on the on the toy shop. And I would urge folks to follow on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, the Hasbro Toy Shop Twitter, or Hasbro, or whichever Hasbro News, I think it's one of those. And they usually give you like 24 hours, like heads up, like when they're going on the website. Cool. So yeah. Moving on. So banned and restricted announcement, no Stoneforge Mystic, that went nowhere. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like, so in the Discord, we talked about this, and, you know, I was like 98% Stoneforge was not getting unbanned. The flurry of activity. Okay, so the justification for why a lot of folks thought that it was more than likely to be unbanned was because MTGO, as well as TCG Player and whatnot, were showing a higher than usual bump in the annual BNR timeframe speculation buys. So people were thinking, okay, there's insider information, somebody knows something, et cetera, et cetera. So what you have to remember
I don't want to cut you off, but not to be total, like, it was getting to a point where it was like kind of odd, but
right. So, yeah, but so. Here's what you have to remember. You have to remember that Jace and BBE both just came off the list. Right. So, and every year those two cards would get bought, usually around, I don't know what it would usually end up as, like a double up, right? Like people would buy them and then they get relisted for double. And I think Stoneforge is getting relisted triple or more. But with Jace and Bloodbraid just recently getting falling off of the list, people were thinking, oh, okay, you know, well, here we are. It's time for Stoneforge. So I think there was more buying and a greater amount of speculation based on what has recently happened with the BNR list than before. Because years past, it was just the usual BBE. People would buy it. It was particularly Bloodbraid Elf. Every year, Bloodbraid Elf was going to get bought. It was going to fall off, and then it never happened. Well, this year, we had two major changes to the ban restricted list. So I think the fallout of that was people thinking, oh, okay, so that must mean that we're going to have another major shift, right? And that was going to be Stoneforge. Stoneforge seemed like the most likely candidate. I'm not a modern expert. I said this in multiple areas in Discord, but just from looking at Stoneforge, Stoneforge just seems far too abusive. Even if it didn't warp the current metagame, it's far too abusive in the sense that you have to completely design around Stoneforge now being in the format, right? So not only, okay, so yeah, maybe right now Modern is fine with Stoneforge, but then you have to, you know, WotC has to always consider Stoneforge being the format because it's a form of fast mana, it's a form of card advantage, it's just a lot, it's a tutor, it's just like, it's way too powerful in Modern. So I would not anticipate, and hopefully this year kind of taught everybody a lesson. And unless we see something that strongly suggests next year, and by strongly suggest, I don't mean Stoneforge being bought out and relisted at 3x. I'm saying if there's some kind of, like, if there's something from WotC, or if there's some clear indication that, okay, we're probably, like, maybe a master set or something like that, or there's changes in format, something. If there's some clear indication that Stoneforge will come off, okay. Otherwise, I would not be expecting Stoneforge to come off anytime soon, as in, like, the next, I wouldn't even be planning on for the next couple of years. That's just my personal take on it.
I mean, trust me, this will start happening in a month. It'll happen all over again in August 20th. August 20th is the next, is the next announcement. Yeah, it'll just happen all over again.
I don't know if people are going to be as hyped as it was this time. Again, I think that's a fallout from Jace and Bloodbraid Elf. I also think it's due to the, in general, Magic is a very bullish market right now. And people are just buying in on things there's a ton of speculation and there's more speculators than usual. So I think that also contributed to what happened this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the summertime. So any kind of action is going to be, a lot more fervent, like a lot more feverish than normal, because, you know, during the summer there's not really anything to like cling on to. So, but I expect this to happen all over again come, you know, the leading up to August 20th. And the rationale then will be, oh, you know, we had that, you know, team pro tour, you know, look how much better, like it would have been so much better if, you know, Stoneforge Mystic was part of that pro tour. Wizards is obviously going to unban it this time. So it's always irrational. So it doesn't matter, like, if you want to dissect the reasoning, people are just going to buy it anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Like, this time it was getting a little concerning because people were being more irrational than normal. So, like, just to, like, it doesn't really matter the reasoning. They're just going to buy it anyway.
Well, that's right. But the problem is that we had a lot of folks were saying, well, wait, this is time it's for real because the pricing is getting so irrational. And my point is that I think there were other factors, other arguments to consider as to why the price was going up. So was, you know, the realist price was getting so high, other than just, oh, someone knows something. Oh, Stoneforge belongs in Modern all of a sudden out of nowhere. Right. So yeah. I just think it's important that, okay, so if it does happen again, and if the price goes to egregious levels again, before people think like in the MTGO room, literally people were saying, it pretty much seems that Stoneforge is 100% a lock because the price on MTGO has shot on tickets. The ticket price has shot up higher than we've ever seen any kind of other BNR card. That must mean something. Well, not necessarily. That just means that, I mean, there's a variety of reasons why. And the, you know, some of the ones I outlined just a few minutes ago, but it's not just, okay, Stoneforge is being resold. It's now 3x what it was before. That must mean it's coming off, right? That's just not a good, I don't think that's a good position to take.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, I can't knock, like, promo Stoneforge Mystic at $20 was pretty much a good buy, like, in and of itself, to be fair. I mean, okay, so it wasn't unbanned. It's not, like, let's just say it was never unbanned in Modern. Like, if someone were to tell you it was never going to be unbanned in Modern ever, like, $20 for the promos was still a pretty good buy. I mean, it was kind of, like, you know, it was kind of, like, weird that price was as low as it was. So, okay, that was a good buy in and of itself. Jataxian Probe and Deathrite Shaman being banned in Legacy just gave folks that, you know, bought it for all the wrong reasons, pretty much a cop-out excuse, we'll say, well, look, I mean, see, the bans that we totally didn't know were going to happen anyway, maybe other than Deathrite Shaman, make Stoneforge Mystic good in Legacy anyway. So, you know, there, you know, see, we're not, like, that stupid. I'm like, all right, you know, that's fine. You know, okay, that's fair.
Right.
But
right. They were able to rationalize away.
Yeah, anyway. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter the reasoning. Like, you're going to buy it. Like, you don't have to, like, I don't know. I just, like, right. It's just so funny when that particular buying for me is an actual gamble. Like, and I don't like doing that. So I would never, you know, advocate, like, I would never suggest anyone to gamble on something being banned or unbanned for the reserves, whether it be Jace, whether it be Stoneforge Mystic, anything. Like, I don't like doing that. We try to make informed decisions and not just haphazardly just spend money, like, for no reason, just gambling. Like, we're already taking a pretty big gamble even with information and with you know, data. So I don't like just throwing the dice. Some people do, and if that's, you know, if you roll the dice 10 times and you come up short and finally, you know, you come up right, then good for you. But I just don't like personally doing that. So I, you know, my view is skewed there. But for those that, you know, hey, bought into Stoneforge Mystic for $20, which is admittedly a pretty good buy in of itself. Like I said, I can admit that. And then you just, you know, you throw out all these reasonings, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, oh, that's cool. Like, that's fine. It's still gambling to me on the notion of you don't know anything. So, but, you know, Deathrite Shaman and Jataxian Probe being banned pretty much saved you. So, grats, I guess. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I think we had one of our questions was whether or not cards, like Legacy staples, that could be influenced by those bans, we're going to see any kind of meaningful.
I mean, we have nothing to back it up yet, right? Like, we don't have any meaningful results. So, the good thing is there's a pro tour around the corner and we'll get to see at least some Legacy, which will be good. So we can take some data from that, but I don't know if there's any large GP or, you know, maybe you're going to look at the dailies to try and get a trend, because I'm assuming, I have a pretty good, you know, pretty good idea that the Pro Tour will be taking from the dailies, at least for Legacy. I don't know how often they, you know, test for that, but I'm assuming it will be dictated a lot from the Moto results, you know, and pretty much all of the results are dictated from that now.
Yeah, I would say the general question of, well, has the popularity of Legacy, or the dropping popularity of Legacy, which, by the way, I mean, we don't necessarily have, well, I don't know of any data that necessarily supports Legacy dropping in popularity. If people do, please shoot it my way, because I'd love to see it. But unless people have concrete numbers to say Legacy is quote unquote dying or has significantly dropped in popularity, I don't know if it's safe to say that. I'm not saying the Legacy is necessarily growing per se, though it could be. I haven't seen any data suggest that it's significantly lost a lot of its player base. So the question was, you know, well, can cards, if cards are the staples that suddenly become better with the bannings and Legacy, well, could there be pricing activity around those? Sure, absolutely. Like, Legacy is still a format that, again, in my mind, it doesn't have support, but it does have a following. It's got plenty of people playing it. So sure, foils especially. I mean, it's, you know, foils have always been in, you know, the go-to in Legacy for where you can find some money. So yes, in answer to that question, I think it was Cardbreaker that posed that. Yeah, I do think that there could be some cards in the Legacy format that do see gains based on the results and if the meta changes. Absolutely, 100%. And I would be starting with foils. I would not be saying, oh, well, Legacy's, nobody really plays Legacy anymore. Legacy's too expensive, so therefore the cards can't go up anymore. I disagree with that. I think that Legacy cards can still see gains, and Legacy's can still be a profit center.
Yeah, I mean, Wizards is obviously still, you know, taking Legacy into consideration. I mean, July 2nd's ban and restricted update just still tells us that they're keeping Legacy in mind by updating the ban list. So there's enough of a following that they feel it the need to dictate where Legacy still needs to go and, you know, update the ban list and ban cards.
And they do have a Pro Tour coming up that features Legacy, right, and there might have been some thought into that, but that just goes to show that yes, they know that people are going to be watching, there will be interest in Legacy, and they want the whole thing to be exciting. So yeah.
my whole thing about Legacy has always ever been that it's pretty much dead when it comes to coverage and the amount of times we see Legacy, like in a big, you know, EV event. They've drastically cut those down. Obviously folks still play at local game stores and just as, you know, popular still online, if not more, it's more popular online than it is in paper. But yeah, you know, my whole thing about Legacy has always ever been that it's dead in terms of coverage. Like, they barely ever cover Legacy and feature Legacy in large tournaments anymore. But, you know, this Pro Tour is definitely I think, you know, as big as a boon as you can be to the format and people watching it and getting into it. So that's always a plus. And I, you know, with these bans, yeah, absolutely, I think cards will fluctuate. But I don't know if we'll see it immediately. You know, I think it may take a little bit of time to at least just see some sort of results.
I mean, listen, I think it could go down like any other Pro Tour, right? If there's some new tech that we see happen at the Pro Tour, you better believe that just like in other Pro Tours, the cards will get bought out, they'll spike, they'll have a Pro Tour spike. Absolutely. Like, there's no reason to treat Legacy, especially when it's being featured in that, you know, at the highest level of the game, as far as, you know, competitive events, there's no reason to treat it any differently than anything else. Especially now that we have bannings and the format could change a little bit. So I think in Discord, they were talking about, was it Reanimate and Show and Tell being like two of the big decks that might.
Yeah. Maverick as well. I heard folks getting pretty excited about Maverick too, which I guess lends into the Stoneforge Mystic hype.
Yeah. So I guess that's the.
Right. It doesn't even need to be like new, quote unquote, tech. It could just be returning tech or returning archetypes that were just kind of, you know, pushed out because of, you know, Delver and all that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, absolutely. I would definitely be on the lookout. It's a good thing we are, you know, covering this Pro Tour just like every other, because I think there's it won't be as tame as other Pro Tours because there's just going to be so many storylines because all of the formats are getting featured. So I think it'll be a good time to tune into that and clue into that. Yep. So, yeah.
So yes, the legacy bannings and their effects are actionable.
Yeah. Last thing about Stoneforge Mystic. Because this was kind of a conversation in chat about, reasoning behind Stoneforge Mystic. Like, I think they've been designing around Stoneforge Mystic since like Batterskull. Like, I can't even name off the top of my head like a decent over the top equipment like in the past like 3 years. So I think they've already been designing around Stoneforge Mystic because all of their equipment has been due.
Anything? I think we had another question. I'm just going through questions again. I think that kind of closes out the Stoneforge and the legacy question. Marion asks, is there anything from Core 19 to purchase now? We kind of talked about this past couple casts, but not really. I haven't looked this week. I think we were talking about Chrome. You were talking about Chromium, and I'm on board that too. If it's dropped down to like a few bucks. I think that's it. Maybe the dragons. I think all the Eld dragons actually across the board, if they're down to $2 or $3, which I'm sure they're not, those are pickups. But otherwise, I would say no. We're right around release, and everything's probably at its height as far as pre-order pricing. So I would say no. Not having checked recently, I would say the only ones I would be looking at are the dragons. But everything should probably be at its highest pre-order price at this point. So I would say probably not. No, there's nothing to pick up.
Yeah. This set has been really weird. Like, there's a lot of awesome cards in the set. A lot of them are rare. There's some mythics. Like, the Elder Dragon Legend are really interesting. I don't think they will all see play. I think a couple of them will. And those, you know, will obviously garner some interest, you know, pull some interest. But I think we need to see where everything kind of settles immediately because, again, this has just kind of been a weird set because Scapeshift, Omniscience, and Crucible all being mythic is just really skewing things, I think. And we talked just really briefly. Yeah, Tarkin and I talked about that the last few casts. It's just skewing things a bit, and we need to see where that value is being redistributed. If I had to guess, like, you know, we can go back and forth about Resplendent Angel, and we have, like, in the spoilers, we, like, during, you know, spoiler season, like we do for every new set, and we kind of go back and forth to try to get the best, you know, card evaluation. Like, yeah, Resplendent Angel, like, that's, you know, just from face value, like, that's aggressively costed. It's not, like, a do-nothing card off the top late game. Like, it does have qualities of a good mythic, like, a mythic worth, like, the value in this set. Like, it's from Core 19, it's not a reprint, so that can easily soak up some value, and I think like 25, I don't know if it can go past that, so that's like one of the cards that are interesting. Nicol Bolas is also interesting because its front side is just solid, and it flips into like one of the best planeswalkers I've seen. You know, it's really scary. And then you have like stuff like Chromium, and you know, some of the planeswalkers are really awesome. So we just have to see, because I just think Omniscience, Scapeshift, Crucible, you have some other reprints like Death Baron that are just inflated because of the price memory. And they're trying to like get rid of those as much as they can at old prices before they drop. And that's just kind of skewing some of the other cards in the set. But I think there's definitely going to be some pretty expensive Core 19 stuff, specifically Core 19 stuff here soon.
Yep. Yeah,
especially because it was wedged in between Battle Bond and now like the Commander set, and then people are already like just like, I want to get out of this like Kaladesh standard. Let's just get to Ravnica in October. So it was like it was wedged between just a whole bunch of stuff, and you know, folks, you know, already looking forward to October. But yeah.
So answer to that is no, not right now, but keep your eye on it because yes, probably soon.
Yeah, your pizza's there. okay, so questions before we wrap things up with QS card, the QS tracker cards that we want to talk about. Are legacy bannings ever actionable? Answered that. What's the word on battle bond, short-term and long-term, supply to demand or short print run? I know we have a few vendors here And we asked this question before. I didn't see anything that indicates that this is going to be a short print run. But I mean, Battle Bond, especially like for foils and stuff, it's just one of those sets like Conspiracy. Like it doesn't take long for this stuff to increase. Like we talked about Breitling last week. That's already doubled in price. May double again because it's seeing some fringe legacy play, and any kind of play in legacy is going to drastically increase a card from one of these sets. So yeah, I mean, it's Battle Bond is like pretty much right now. Like it is the short term, and there's a long term for Battle Bond. I think we'll be talking about Battle Bond cards for quite some time.
Yeah. Apparently, I think it was John Hayes, who's an LGS owner. That's his handle here in Discord. He had mentioned that he is no longer able to get them from WotC Direct sealed boxes.
Okay.
So that leads me to believe that it is in some way limited. We haven't heard what the supply is like from third-party distributors yet, but I am leaning towards, yes, this is not going to be print to demand, and it's probably more limited than people were anticipating, at least at first.
Yep. Why am I still so bad at Magic after all these years? Do you play?
I don't know, because he was a former Magic designer, so I that's very interesting that he's bad at Magic.
Yeah, I don't. What? Yeah, I mean, if you design the cards, I don't understand. I mean, maybe you should play like more green cards. Those are pretty good in Standard these days, and they're pretty good in Modern too. What time tonight?
Limited.
That's a pass. We didn't do the thing like until the next morning.
Yeah.
How did Obi-Wan defeat Darth Maul if Darth Maul had the higher ground? I personally think Obi-Wan is the best character in all of Star Wars, so Obi-Wan's just awesome.
You know they're doing...
The high ground doesn't apply to Obi-Wan.
They're doing an Obi-Wan prequel story.
Yeah, I hope they get... what is his name?
Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor. If they don't get that, it's a non-watch for me.
It's a no-go.
It's a no-go. I'm sorry. That's a deal-breaker.
It might be like even younger Obi-Wan, like when Obi-Wan was training to be a Jedi, when he was like pre Ewan McGregor, right?
Has to be.
I'm with you, but we'll see what happens.
He's just like, he is Obi-Wan now. I mean, they can't get like original Obi-Wan, unfortunately. So
yeah, exactly. Padawan Kenobi. Yeah.
Yeah, Padawan Kenobi, but it has to be McGregor. Again, it's just a deal breaker. I can't do it. Are fumigation gases harmful to Magic cards? My home is getting tented for termites this week. Oh, or next week.
Not that I've heard of. Smoke is for sure, but I don't know about fumigation gases.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I can't say they would be good for it. I don't know if it necessarily does anything, but I mean, with the card stock the way it is, I mean, if it's all old cards, you should be fine because those things are like stone. Tablets.
Yeah, I don't think you.
But if
I
it's new cards, it doesn't take much.
Like, I don't think you're gonna smell the fumigation scent from like a year from now, or
start sending cards out. You just get bad feedback on eBay because your cards smell like.
You start poisoning people. Poisoning people with fumigation.
Just shut you down. We've never had this issue on eBay before. Okay. Yep. Answered that. Any modern actionables related to the rise of Jeskai? Rob mentioned Vendilion Click on the stock watch today. So that was yesterday. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm bowing out because I have absolutely no idea what's going on with Jeskai. I'm sorry. I don't know. I cannot speak intelligently on that.
I would think a lot of the Jeskai stuff is already pretty high, but I'll double check. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head. Not to the immediate future, no.
You should actually DM Rob himself, because Rob actually is like in the trenches, plays a lot of Modern and Standard, hence why he's our daily pick guy. But I would DM him and ask him. He would probably have a much better sense than I, or I guess Chaz would on that.
Yeah.
Or Chaz, we can look into it. I'm happy to look into it, and if you want, you can DM him.
I know folks are still trying to get their hands on like Mantis Rider foils and stuff like those.
We'll try to look into
pretty
it
pretty well, but that's not really for Jeskai. This is more of like humans.
Cool.
I don't know.
Should
I like
hit,
I know
hit picks?
Teferi,
I think that's all the questions.
Yeah,
or was
yeah,
there some more?
Yep. Yeah, yep, that was it. Okay,
cool.
Yeah, go ahead, Targ, you start us off.
Okay, This one, I struggled this week, actually. Last week was Chaz trying to find something. This week, I've struggled a little bit. But I do have a couple here that I think you should keep an eye on. First one is Bramblewood Paragon from Morningtide. I know that there's apparently been some activity on that already, but I think you can still find copies for around $4 to $5. I would anticipate that ends up at the $8 to $10 mark when all said and done. Very few copies left on TCG. I guess the warrior hype is real. So, yep, I like Bramblewood Paragon now. I would not be buying in past like $6 or $7 as far as making money, but I think at $4 or $5, there's still some meat on the bone on that one. Next one is from Commander 2017. It's the black ones, the black tribal Wrath of God, which is Kindred Dominance. Currently about $8. This card seems pretty popular. There's not a lot of copies on TCG, only like one page. And then it shoots up to about $15 at the very bottom with the highest sellers. I think that 12 to 15 is not unrealistic for this thing. We do have Commander 2018 around the corner. Though, since this is the first time it was printed, my sense is that it's not going to get hit again in Commander 2018. That I could be wrong about that, of course, but my sense is just... It's going to miss the reprint in Commander 2018. So I think that this could, over the next few months, end up being a $12 card. And then my two reserve list picks, Ring of Gix. You can find Ring of Gix for like 50 cents, between 50 cents and a dollar, which I think is far too cheap for that thing. I would be picking those up. Those will probably end up being $1.50 eventually. Yes, I know it's reserve list, so it's going to end up going anyway, but I think that's a good cheap one to get in on, a good penny stock one. And then finally, earlier in the year, I had called out Candelabra of Taunos to be hitting the next card that hits $1,000. Well, it's currently at ABU buy list, I think, a few weeks ago was at 900. Its ABU buy list has since gone down to about 869 or 866. So it's pretty much there. I would expect Candelabra to end up being $1,000 sooner than later. So if you have those, I would be prepping them. Either ship them off to ABU for the profit or get ready, because I think that one's gonna end up just being hitting $1,000 here pretty soon. So those are mine.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of funny. My answer to the Legacy question, and I think this is actually directly related to Legacy, but Council Judgment is up double from its all-time low back in 2017, March 6th, 2017, of $5. It's currently sitting at around 10 now, and I think this is actually, so here you go. Here's like your immediate reaction to the bannings. I think it's going to head back to its all-time high of about 20, and we've seen that back in 2014. It was sitting around $20. It has drastically just decreased since then, sitting around 5. It's up to 10 now. So I think, I think Council's Judgment is on its way back. So if you can get them at, definitely under $10 is still really solid, because I think this is going to just continue to trend up back to its all-time high, maybe even past that. I guess there's your immediate impact from the announcement, because this started around, it's been starting since March, early March, so maybe not. But I guess the announcement just gave it more steam. That's mostly mine for this week. I was trying to look at like a couple interesting foils, but I didn't really see anything. Harkin and I were talking about like there was nothing, there was not like in the last week or so anything like under double digits. While I like giving out some high end stuff sometimes, that's not like what I try to go for. But I'll tell you what, I've seen Send Triplets just continue to increase. When are they going to reprint this card?
That's a good question.
It's not stopped, like literally nonstop for the last, my God, 6 years. Good Lord. All time high of 30. Its average right now is 23. Its foil price is 65. I mean, that's just I would watch that card, but I mean, that card has to be reprinted at some point. That's just nuts. Other than that, I mean, we see some Masterpiece stuff, nothing too crazy. Maelstrom Wanderer foils. That was a first time foil for Maelstrom Wanderer. Let's see. It's all time low. Wow, $7 from the non-foil. But the foil is still sitting at like 30. I see it fluctuating a little bit, but nothing crazy there. Yeah, I'm just going to stick with Council's Judgment. I mean, I'll have more for next week, but I think we get Commander 2018 preview soon. So that will likely kind of spark some more stuff for me to, you know, tell people to consider or suggest folks that they consider. But yeah, I'm just going to stick with Council's Judgment.
All right,
folks.
I've got to hit my soup and hit the sack. Yeah. Like I said, a little under the weather tonight, but this was good. Talk about some good stuff, and yeah, I'm glad we're trying to stick with our schedule around Thursday. You know, around this time, rather Thursday nights. But you know, if we hit a Friday morning or something, then it might happen. But we're really trying to stick to pretty consistent weekly schedule with this. So
yeah. All right. It will be up by the end of the day. Real quick, where can they catch you on the internet, Tark?
Yep, I'm at Twitter at @the_TARK, the Tark. You can also chat with me over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. I help those guys over there. And as always, I'm in the QS Discord.
Yeah, you can find me in the QS Insider Discord and my work on Quiet Speculation every week. You know, I do it all. Yep, we have another Pro Tour to cover here soon. That starts, I think, a few weeks from now. I think in 2 weeks, I have to double check, but yeah.
It's in August,
In August. So a few weeks. So start gearing up for that. Yeah, so good cast, Tark. We will see you next time. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
See you guys.